Welcome to Stories in the Valley. I am your host, Charles Kiernan. I want to honor the passing of storyteller Sid Lieberman. He had often appeared at the National Storytelling Festival, was an award-winning teacher, and an author. One of his specialties was the telling of Jewish folk tales. Here are three of them. Joseph the Tailor, The Wise Shoemaker of Studena, and The Debate in Sign Language.
You have two parts in the story. You get to say a line at the beginning of the story, and by the end of the story, you can yell the line as loud as you want, and the line is, throw it out. So let me hear it.
Throw it out!
Okay, now let me hear it quietly.
Throw it out.
Ooh! Even better, at the end of the story, you get to say this line with as snotty a feeling as you can possibly get up. And the line is, you can't make something out of nothing. So let me hear it.
You can't make something out of nothing.
I'll tell you, it always amazes me because people always are very good at being snotty. A story about Joseph the tailor. Joseph was such a good tailor. He was always busy. He always had work to do. And he never had time to work on his own clothes. Now, he wore an overcoat every day to work. His wife, she hated the coat. Now, one day, while Joseph was working, he looked down and he noticed that at the edge of his coat, it was frayed. There were holes at the bottom. He said, Sarah, look, my favorite coat is ruined. She thought, now's my chance. And very quietly, she said to him, Joseph, why don't you take the coat and
throw it out.
He said, why should I throw it out? After all, I'm a tailor. And he took it off and he cut and he snipped and he stitched and he sewed. And he made himself a little jacket he used to wear out on cool evenings. But time went on and suddenly there was a rip in the sleeve of the jacket. He said, oh, Sarah, look, my favorite jacket is ruined. She thought again, now's my chance. And very quietly she said, Joseph, then why don't you take the jacket and
throw it out.
He said, why should I throw it out? After all, I'm a tailor. And he took it off and he cut and he snipped and he stitched and he sewed and he made himself a fine vest like I'm wearing. But time went on and suddenly there was a rip in the pocket of the vest. He said, oh, Sarah, look, my favorite vest is ruined. She said, Joseph, please take the vest and
throw it out.
Why should I throw it out? After all, I'm a tailor. And he took it off and he cut and he snipped and he stitched and he sewed. And he made himself a long scarf he used to wear to the synagogue on Friday nights. But, you know, time went on and suddenly that frayed. There were holes in it. He said, Sarah, look, my favorite scarf, it's ruined. She said, Joseph, please take the scarf and
throw it out.
Why should I throw it out? After all, I'm a tailor. And he took it off and he cut and he snipped and he stitched and he sewed. And he made himself a fine necktie. He wore it to a wedding, but he was a sloppy eater. He got spots all over it. When he came home, he looked at the tie. He said, ooh, my new tie is ruined. His wife said, Joseph, if it's ruined, please take the tie and
throw it out.
That's all you say is throw it out. Why should I throw it out? After all, I'm a tailor. I told you. And he took it off and he cut and he snipped and he stitched and he sewed and he made himself a fine handkerchief. He wore it in his neck when he would eat. But I told you, he was a sloppy eater. One day he looked at the handkerchief. He said, ooh, that's disgusting. I can't use this handkerchief anymore. Sarah, it's ruined. She said, Joseph, please take the handkerchief and
throw it out.
Why should I throw it out? I told you, I'm a tailor. And so he took it and he cut and he snipped and he stitched and he sewed and he made himself a fine button. He wore it on his trousers to hold the suspenders. But one day he lost it. He couldn't find it anywhere. He went looking through the whole house. It wasn't there. He said, oh, Sarah, I lost my favorite button. She smiled at him. She said, ah, Joseph, today I'm a happy woman because there's one thing I'm sure of in this world, and that one thing is that you
can't make something out of nothing.
He said, what? Not only am I a tailor, I'm also a storyteller. And he took a pencil. And he wrote down this story, which I'm telling you. proving you can make something out of nothing. In the village of Studena, in Hungary, lived a little shoemaker by the name of Jesse. Now, he was great at mending shoes, but he was even better at giving advice. Every day, the villagers would crowd into his shop and ask his opinion about this and that. Some days, he talked more than he worked. His fame spread throughout Hungary, and soon rich men and even noblemen were coming to his shop to ask advice. And that's how Samuel, the richest merchant in all of Budapest, heard about Jesse. Now, Samuel liked to show off. He was that kind of man. He had the finest house, the best clothes, and the largest belly of any merchant in town. And he thought to himself, if I can get Jesse to come to Budapest to my daughter's wedding, I'll be the envy of everyone. You see, I'll be the first merchant in town to host the wise shoemaker of Studena. Now, he had never met Jesse, but he knew about his wisdom, and so he sent him a letter praising his wisdom, begging him to come. He even sent his private coach. Now, when Jesse got the letter, he was very excited. He had never been to Budapest, and he'd always wanted to go. So he closed up his shop, he went home, and he told his wife. But his wife said to him, Jesse, how will you go to such a fancy wedding? Even your best clothes aren't good enough. But Jesse said, why should I worry about what I wear? A goat has a beard, it doesn't make him a rabbi. So off he went. He was so excited, the ride to Budapest seemed like nothing. And when he got there, the town was as grand as he imagined it was going to be. There were huge crowds, there were tall buildings, there were even palaces. Jesse was craning his neck in all directions, and he tripped over some cobblestones as he was walking along, and he fell into the mud. When he got up and he looked at himself, he said, "Oi, what did my wife say now? I'll have to beg forgiveness of Samuel for my appearance." When he arrived at the wedding, Samuel was greeting guests at the door. But before Jesse could get a word out, Samuel put a hand up and he said, "Out, out, out. I don't want a beggar here. I'm expecting the wisest man in all of Hungary to show up. We don't need any beggars here. Out with you." And he turned Jesse around and he threw him out into the street. Jesse said to himself, "Oh, this is a man who says he likes wisdom. Well, I better teach him a lesson." He went to a rich merchant's house that he had met weeks ago who had come to Studena. And when he told him the story and told him what he wanted to do, the merchant agreed to help, and he opened the door to a huge wardrobe, and he told Jesse to take the best clothes. Now, Jesse, he donned purple velvet pants. He put on a white silk shirt with ruffles from Italy. He put on leather boots up to his knees. He put on a brocade coat of silver and gold, and the merchant himself put a black fur hat on his head. Now, when Jesse came back to the wedding, Samuel greeted him with such respect. He introduced him to all of the people at the wedding. And after the ceremony, he seated him in the seat of honor next to the bride and groom. Now, it was such a wonderful, wonderful moment. Everybody was waiting, seeing what would the great, wise shoemaker of Studena do? What would be his first wise words? Samuel got up and he said, "I think we have to make a toast to the bride and groom for their health and happiness." And everybody stood and drank the toast. That is everyone but Jesse. He took his drink, he pulled his trousers away from his body, and he poured it down. Everybody was whispering, but after all, he was the wise shoemaker of Studena, so nobody said anything. But the whole meal was like that. When the soup came, Jesse pulled off a boot, poured it in, and swished it around. He took two chicken legs from the chicken paprikash and put it into the pocket of his coat. He took some cabbage balls and dumped them into the other pocket. He smeared sauerkraut up and down his arms. He pushed potatoes down his shirt. And he very carefully spooned peas into his hat. No one knew what to do. Of course, some of the kids tried to imitate him. But they didn't get very far. Finally, though, when he took some apple strudel and smashed it against his chest, Samuel had had enough. He said, "What's going on here? I thought you were a wise man. I thought you would tell us something wise, give us some wisdom, teach us something. But all you're doing is acting like a madman. What's happening?" And Jesse looked at him and he said, "Oh, but I've been teaching you ever since we started eating. You see, I was that man you threw out this morning. You thought I was a beggar because of what I was wearing. And when I came back dressed like a rich man, you treated me with respect. It seems you didn't want me here at all. You wanted my clothes. And so, I'm feeding them. Drink well, Michael. And with that, he poured a cup of tea into his pocket and left. The next day, he was home eating breakfast when his wife came in sweeping. She said, "So, as I read about the clothes..." He got up, he took the broom out of her hand, he danced around with it in the living room. He said, "You know what? Even this broom would look good if you dressed it up." Fools look at men's clothes. Wise men see their spirits. Once there was an evil king who decided he wanted to throw his Jews out. And the way he decided to do it was to have a debate with them in sign language. He said to the Jewish community, "I will give you three signs, and if someone can read my three signs and answer me correctly, you can stay here for the rest of your days. But if not, all of your people will have to go." Well, the Jewish community was up in arms. No one knew what to do. My God, there were arguments and discussions, and no one wanted to get up. After all, how would they debate a king, let alone debate a king in sign language? So finally, after days of arguments going up and back, finally, Yankel, a little chicken man, said, "Look, if no one will do it, I'll do it." And so they agreed. And off Yankel went to the debate. There was a huge platform set in the center of town. Everybody was around the platform. The king was on one side, little Yankel was on the other. And the king said, "Okay, I will give you three signs. If you get them all correctly, you can stay with your people in this land. If not, you will all have to leave. And here is the first sign." And the king threw an arm into the air. He put his hand out with outstretched fingers. And Yankel looked at him and put up a fist in front of his face. The king said, "Correct. I'm amazed. Here is the second sign." And he threw his arm towards Yankel with two fingers straight out. And Yankel put one finger up in front of his nose. The king said, "Correct again. If you get the third sign right, you will get to stay with all of your people." And he reached into the folds of his robe and he pulled out a piece of cheese. And Yankel looked at him and shrugged and reached into a pouch and pulled out an egg. The king said, "Correct again. The Jews can stay." That night, in the castle, the whole court was around the king. They said, "What was the debate about?" The king said, "It's astonishing that the Jews had a little chicken man who could read my signs. I put my hand out with my fingers out to show him that Jews were scattered all over the world, but he put his fist up to show me that they were one in the hand of God. And I put up two fingers to show him that there were two kings, one in heaven and one on the earth. And he put up one finger to show me there was only one king, the king in heaven. And so I brought out a piece of cheese to show me that the Jewish religion had grown old and moldy, but he brought out an egg to show me it was fresh and whole. It was amazing." Meanwhile, at Yankel's, everybody crowded into the chicken store. They said, "What was the debate about?" He says, "I don't know." It wasn't much of a debate. I mean, he reached out to grab me, so I put up a fist. Show him I'd punch him if he touched me. So then he put out two fingers to poke my eyes out. So I put up one to block him. And then I guess he knew I was going to stand up to him, so he brought out his lunch and I brought out mine.
That was late Sid Lieberman. The Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild holds its Storytelling Circle at Godfrey Daniels at 7 East 4th Street in Bethlehem on the second Wednesdays of the month at 7:30 p.m., except the month of August. Come and listen to stories or try out a story yourself. We are a friendly audience, and the event is free. That's all for now. Have fun and keep a story in your heart.